Funding for Capital Report is provided by the following. A grant from the law firm of Searcy, Denny, Scarola, Barnhart & Shipley, supporting public radio and taking time to care. On the web at searcylaw.com. Lewis, Longman & Walker, a law firm helping clients navigate the maze of regulatory and political processes. Offices in Tallahassee and statewide. More about Lewis, Longman & Walker's legislative lobbying and other governmental affairs practices is at llw-law.com. The Florida Restaurant and Lodging Association, committed to protecting, educating, and promoting Florida's hospitality industry. Over 10,000 members providing over 1 million jobs. The Florida Restaurant and Lodging Association. More at frla.org. And from the Florida Wildlife Federation, supporting acquisition and stewardship of Florida public conservation lands, including programs like Florida Forever, Everglades Restoration, and more. The Florida Wildlife Federation. More information online at fwfonline.org. WFSU-FM, Tallahassee. From the state capitol, Florida Public Radio brings you Capitol Report.
From $1 billion to $129 million, Senate lawmakers have slashed the state's tax cut package.
The fiscal impact of this package is $129 million in tax reductions.
Also tonight, funeral services of sorts at the Florida Capitol as various unpassed pieces of legislation go to their doom.
We see ourselves here to celebrate and with victory and with power. And if you can see the symbolism in front of you, we are here to bury these anti-immigrant laws once and for all.
We'll also take delivery of a government corruption report card, learn about a new Learn at Your Own Speed initiative for Florida school kids, and hear about a proposed Holocaust memorial for the state capitol complex. I'm Tom Flanagan. With just a single day left in the 2016 Florida lawmaking session, this is Capitol Report. It may be a shell of its former self, but today Senate lawmakers moved forward with a tax cut package for the coming year. Nick Evans reports the proposal seems likely to return to the House only about one-tenth the size it was when it left.
This was Shalimar Republican Representative Matt Gaetz in early February.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This legislation represents a $1 billion investment in the people of Florida. It's an investment in our families. It's an investment in our parents, in our seniors, in our veterans.
But, you know, best laid plans and whatnot. This billion-dollar tax cut included big-ticket items like a reduction in the business rent tax, a series of sales tax holidays, and permanent elimination of the tax on manufacturing equipment. And the measure had a lot of supporters in the House. Here's Jacksonville Republican Representative Lake Ray.
I ask you something. Can you tell me what other states have taxes on manufacturing equipment? It's not plural, it's one. It begins with a C. I think everyone knows where that is. It's on the left coast of the United States.
Of course, there were detractors like Miami Democratic Representative Jose Javier Rodriguez, too.
That's really what I guess you could look at is faith-based economics. It's a religion of trickle-down, which I think has been discredited, but which continues to permeate here.
And in the end, it seems $1 billion in tax cuts was probably always a fantasy. Even the House proposal spread the cut over 2 years, and it would have required the Senate to set aside its priority to fund Enterprise Florida. House Speaker Steve Crisafulli says there simply isn't enough money in state coffers for both efforts.
As I've said all along, 132% of our discretionary spending was laid out in a tax proposal and an economic incentive package. That was prior to the Revenue Estimating Conference meeting. So certainly the resources were not there to do all of that. And as I've said, the House focused on tax cuts, the Senate focused on economic incentives, and this is where we are today with the allocations. And we feel
Thursday, Port Orange Republican Senator Dorothy Huckel brought up the Senate's take on the proposal.
Senators, this is the so-called tax package. This amendment was adopted by the Appropriations Committee and represents the agreed-to tax package with the House.
Gone is a cut for the business rent tax. Narrowed is the slate of sales tax holidays. But the Senate is still zeroing out the sales tax on manufacturing equipment.
The fiscal impact of this package is $129 million in tax reductions.
The other large cut in the Senate's package is a back-to-school sales tax holiday. It's the only one to survive the Senate's haircut, but lawmakers have reduced it from 10 days to 3. The measure is slated for a final vote in the Senate Friday, which is also the last day of session. If the Senate approves the bill, it returns to the House, where lawmakers are likely to bring it up quickly. Either way, the legislature's decision on tax cuts will come down to the wire. For Florida Public Radio, I'm Nick Evans.
With the end in sight, different groups are closing out the 2016 lawmaking session in different ways. Kate Payne reports immigration activists convened at the state capitol today to bury a package of dead bills.
We are Florida.
Somos Florida.
Nuce Florid.
We are Florida is the chant of a group of immigration activists, both Hispanic and Haitian. They came to Tallahassee 3 months ago, chanting and brandishing signs and banners. Now they're heralding the close of session and carrying a symbolic coffin, laying to rest a series of anti-immigrant bills. Activists laid flowers on the grave and even lit candles for the dead legislation. Unsurprisingly, Jose Luis Marantes from the Florida Immigrant Coalition is happy to see the bills go.
We see ourselves here to celebrate and with victory and with power. And if you can see the symbolism in front of you, we are here to bury these anti-immigrant laws once and for all.
This session, activists opposed a raft of bills they say would criminalize immigrant communities and separate families. Here's the Florida Immigrant Coalition's Francesca Menez, who is also a candidate for the Florida House District 108 in Miami-Dade County.
We started the session off with 9 bad anti-immigrant bills. Bills that would criminalize mothers and fathers who reunited with their families. Bills that would increase penalties for undocumented immigrants who committed criminal offenses. Bills that would actually give the governor authority and power to call the military to block refugees from coming into our state. We are happy to say, one more day away from session ending, that these bills are dead.
Paul Mondeser is a Haitian activist with the Quaker group American Friends Service Committee.
We have to increase our knowledge, our wisdom, about to consider immigrant as a gift for the community.
Democratic Senator Dwight Bullard of Miami stood with the group Thursday, saying lawmakers should not forget that many of Florida's industries depend on immigrants.
When we look at companies like Walt Disney World, when we think about our agricultural industry, when we think about our tourism and hotel industry, it becomes critically important that we address the concerns, the needs, and the well-being of all people of Florida, and stop being about the business of exclusion.
While Democrats in both chambers opposed the bills, many of the measures stopped at the door of Republican Senator Miguel Diaz de la Portilla. That senator chairs the Judiciary Committee and refused to give the bills a hearing. Activity in the Florida Capitol is winding down as lawmakers are expected to close out the session on time. But Daniel Barajas says the work of immigrant activists isn't done yet.
We're going to take this to the polls. First, we brought it here to the Capitol. Now we're taking it to the polls. We're going to make our presence felt with numbers, with voter turnouts.
Florida's presidential primary is Tuesday, March 15th. For Florida Public Radio, I'm Kate Payne.
Governor Rick Scott had his bill signing pen back in high gear again today. He signed off on a bill that would lead to replacing the statue of Confederate General Edmund Kirby Smith at the National Statuary Hall in Washington, D.C. Each state, you know, is allowed 2 statues in the National Hall at the U.S. Capitol, and Florida is represented by statues of Smith and John Gorey, who's widely considered the father of air conditioning. Well, under a bill, a committee will recommend 3 prominent Floridians as potential replacements for Smith, and the legislature will pick one whose statue will be placed in the hall. Overall, Scott signed 26 bills into law today. Among them was a measure that will require state and local governments to pick up the costs of relocating utility lines and public easements if relocation is needed for such things as road projects. Another newly signed bill will require the State Board of Administration to compile a list of companies that boycott Israel. The State Board of Administration, which runs Florida's pension fund, will not be able to invest in those companies. Still to come on Capitol Report, this year's legislative session got underway with some high-minded intentions to reduce even the appearance of corruption. The question remains, how did those efforts pan out?
This is not a gift ban. This is a corruption ban.
Lawmakers passed an education bill that could give students a lot more flexibility in how quickly they move through their schoolwork.
Every child is different and has unique talents and abilities. But currently, our schools treat all students like they're the same. They're all expected to master the same subjects in the same way in the same amount of time.
Unmarried people who are illegally living together in Florida could soon be living together legally.
Times have changed. Currently, over 500,000 couples in Florida are breaking this law as we speak.
And a bill creating a Holocaust memorial at the Florida Capitol in Tallahassee is now in the governor's hands.
Support for Capitol Report is provided by The Able Trust, 25 years of connecting businesses with workers with disabilities. Businesses are encouraged to interview and hire talented and loyal Floridians with disabilities as they seek to broaden their customer base and reach all of Florida's diverse population. AbleTrust.org.
Government reformers are giving the Florida legislature a mixed review this year when it comes to fighting corruption. Lawmakers did agree to give prosecutors some new tools to root out the bad apples, but critics say the changes don't go far enough, as we hear from Jim Ash.
Much of the credit belongs to a former Senate president who was on his way out and a House Appropriations chairman who was on his way up. Senator Don Gates of Niceville passed a measure eliminating the need for prosecutors to prove corrupt intent. He also got the legislature to hold government contractors to the same legal standards as public officials. But it was a slog, even for a former president. Critics worried a contractor could go to jail for giving a public official a Christmas turkey.
If your normal business practice is to solicit, accept, or agree to pecuniary or other benefits not authorized by law in violation of a duty required by a contract, you're not going to like this bill.
Gates was emphatic.
This is not a gift ban. This is a corruption ban.
Bad blood between Gates and Republican Jack Latvala of Clearwater slowed the process to a crawl.
Senator Gates, I know how to read.
Well, I understand that, Senator Latvala.
I'm looking for an explanation in layman's language that we can all understand, rather than just rereading the amendment.
The bill grew out of a statewide grand jury report that highlighted Florida's poor record prosecuting corruption. Common Cause and Integrity Florida joined prosecutors in supporting the bill. Media giant Gannett Co. Inc. backed the bill as well. Florida Today editorial writer Matt Reed switched from observer to advocate and testified before a Senate committee.
After covering corruption and investigating it for 20 years here in Florida, in South Central and North Florida, we see a problem.
But that only made Latvala furious. He said Reed was using his power to endorse candidates to strong-arm votes for the bill. Ben Wilcox, research director for Integrity Florida, says political infighting nearly killed the reforms.
Frankly, it's disappointing that personal political battles would get in the way of good public policy, but that's the way it works sometimes in the Florida legislature.
In the end, half of the package ended up on the cutting room floor, despite powerful support in both chambers. House Budget Chief Richard Corcoran, who is next in line to be Speaker, wanted to force lobbyists to detail the legislation and budget items they're trying to influence. It passed the House but failed to get a final hearing in the Senate Appropriations Committee. President Andy Gardner called the idea intriguing, but told reporters he was not getting pressured to pass it.
Any chance we can make your job easier, I guess, and us really understand who all is involved and what, then I wouldn't have a problem with it, but I haven't spoken to any individuals.
Because of Senate hostility or indifference, the Ethics Commission will not get the power to initiate investigations and will keep its paper tiger image. The upper chamber also refused to force mayors and city commissioners to file detailed financial disclosures. Wilcox says he's counting on Governor Rick Scott to approve the measures that passed.
Yeah, I'm very hopeful that Governor Scott will sign House Bill 7071 and let it become law. I don't think Governor Scott likes public corruption any more than anybody else in Florida does.
When it reaches his desk, Scott will have 7 days to sign it, veto it, or let it become law without his signature. For Florida Public Radio, I'm Jim Ash.
Some Florida students could soon be able to work more at their own pace. Len Hatter reports a priority of the Foundation for Florida's Future is on its way to Governor Rick Scott. It creates a pilot program for competency-based education.
The idea is this. When a student has demonstrated mastery of a subject, they can move on to the next one. But as Democratic Senator Bill Montford notes, it's not just for kids in high-level programs.
But let me also add that we have a lot of students who take advantage of this who have had difficulties for some ever whatever reason. It may be they may have been ill and out for most of a year. Can come in and quickly catch up and get back to where they need to be. It's also a good part, a good program for our remedial needed students as well.
Montford heads the Florida Association of District School Superintendents. The issue is a priority for the education think tank, the Foundation for Florida's Future.
You know, every child is different and has unique talents and abilities. But currently, our schools treat all students like they're the same. They're all expected to master the same subjects in the same way in the same amount of time.
Patricia Levesque heads that organization.
It allows education to be personalized for each student. You know, we have some wonderful school districts like Pinellas and Lake Counties. They've been doing amazing work to personalize learning for their students. We want their work to expand and benefit all Florida's children.
The bill sets up a 5-year pilot program in Lake, Palm Beach, Pinellas, and Seminole counties. Here's Democratic Senator Jeff Clemens.
I would just ask as we move forward with it that we try to make sure that the state collects as much data as possible, demographic data, socioeconomic data, so that we know, what's working, what's not working, where and why.
But the idea to track student data concerns Republican Senator Alan Hayes. He worries that data could fall into the wrong hands.
How much information are they getting on that individual student? Sometimes it's nobody else's business, and it's certainly not the business of the public. And I think that we need to be very, very careful, keep a close eye on this program. I'm sure it's going to pass. It's going to be implemented. But we need to be very, very observant.
And Democratic Senator Dwight Bullard worries a student's fate could be determined by a test on a computer that some students may not know how to work.
It sounds great, but it creates a situation where you may have those that can make it and those who cannot because of their inability to function on a computer.
Still, the majority of the Florida Senate agrees on the idea of the bill. And while some, like Democratic Senator Jeremy Ring, say they wish the bill went further, others, like fellow Democrat Eleanor Sobel, say it's about time.
There are many students who are in classrooms who are extremely bored, and they get into discipline problems. This will give those students who excel, who have individual abilities, to move ahead at their own pace. So let's try it. It might work.
For Florida Public Radio, I'm Lynn Hatter.
It's now up to the governor to decide whether more than 500,000 Florida couples are breaking the law. Regan McCarthy reports a measure to legalize cohabitation has passed in the legislature.
Under current law, cohabitation, or living lewdly and lasciviously with a person of the opposite sex, is a second-degree misdemeanor. It's punishable by a $500 fine and 60 days behind bars. But the bill's sponsor, Hollywood Democratic Senator Eleanor Sobel, says it's a rule thousands of Floridians are breaking.
Times have changed. Currently, over 500,000 couples in Florida are breaking this law as we speak. The government should not intrude into the private lives of two consenting adults.
And House Minority Leader Mark Pafford says many of the people breaking that law are likely working in the Capitol building.
I think it probably relieves a lot of folks that actually working here and perhaps serving here. So
Pafford told reporters he thinks this year is the right time to get the measure through.
I always talk about, years ago there was the issue with helmets on motorcycle drivers, and it took like 10 years to get helmets as an option where they don't have to wear them. During the same 10-year span, they tried to get helmets on kids riding bikes. Nothing ever really makes sense up here. For whatever reason, it was time and it passed.
Lawmakers have targeted Florida's cohabitation law in their effort to clean up the state's books for years. But many have pushed back against the measure's removal, arguing that repealing the rule could be seen as the state approving of what some might call inappropriate premarital relationships. And supporters argue the measure isn't hurting anybody, since it's rarely enforced. But Sobel says that's not true. Data from the Florida Department of Law Enforcement indicates nearly 400 people have been charged with the crime since 2011. And during a committee hearing on the measure earlier this year, Bradenton Republican Senator Bill Galvano said the rule could be used unfairly.
Unfortunately, because it's on the books and not being enforced, it still has the potential of being used as a segue into a search of a premises. And that's a concern, because then you can always identify as the underlying criminal activity in order to get a warrant to go in for maybe other purposes that you could not achieve that same warrant status on.
And while shacking up is typically thought of as a young person's thing, Sobel says in a state with a high senior population, the rule often impacts Florida's retirees. The measure heads next to Governor Rick Scott for approval. For Florida Public Radio, I'm Regan McCarthy.
Florida voters will decide this year whether to give commercial property owners a tax break on renewable energy devices. The Senate and House this week unanimously approved a proposed constitutional amendment that will lead to a referendum as part of the August 30th primary election. The proposal would, if approved, exempt the assessed value of solar and renewable energy devices installed on commercial and industrial property. Sponsors say the proposal will open the door for significant expansion of solar and renewable energy production in Florida. The proposal is intended to expand for 20 years an exemption that's already provided to residential property owners. A House analysis of the bill estimates the measure could save business owners more than $16 million in local taxes in 2018, and that would grow to more than $20 million by the year 2021. You're listening to Capital Report from Florida Public Radio. I'm Tom Flanagan. Finally tonight, there are five Holocaust memorials and museums across the state. As Sasha Cordner reports, the Florida legislature just sent a bill to the governor for approval to add another memorial in the capital city.
Coral Springs Democratic Representative Jared Moskowitz is the bill's House sponsor. He says creating the memorial is especially important given the number of Holocaust survivors in Florida.
Florida is home to the second largest Holocaust-surviving population. Everyone knows what the Holocaust is, but it was the systematic extermination of Jews in Europe. You're talking about two-thirds of European Jews were wiped off the face of the earth.
Moskowitz says the victims included 1 million kids, 6 million Jews, as well as 5 million non-Jews died.
You know, the greatest threat to the Jewish population today may be Iran. But truthfully, the second greatest threat is that soon there will be no more witnesses to the Holocaust. Without witnesses to the Holocaust, without eyewitnesses to the tragedy, we will have no one to testify what happened. We will depend on museums and memorials and stories and books that were written.
For Moskowitz, this is very personal.
You know, as someone who entire family escaped the Holocaust and who's specifically my grandmother, my mom's mother, was part of what was called the Kinder Transport out of Germany, and that's where Britain smuggled 10,000 children. My grandmother specifically was put into a boxcar with her sister, and they were shipped to Britain, and it saved her life. Her parents were killed in Auschwitz, and I have similar stories, obviously, on my father's side.
Andy says his grandfather had a tougher time and won't talk about it to this day.
There may be records in the Holocaust Museum of what happened to them, but I don't even know, because he refused to speak about it. That's how horrific it was. Imagine being a little boy and running away to another country never seeing your parents, never seeing your two brothers, and never seeing your sister again. He had no relatives left. His cousins, his aunts, his uncles, his nephew, the entire bloodline of that family was wiped out. He was the sole survivor.
The bill is also important to Tallahassee attorney Stephen Uhlfelder.
I believe this is one of the more important bills this session, and I believe this is a proper way to recognize what they've been through as well as their families. We have many memorials in this state, but there's no memorial here in the state capitol. There are memorials in many states throughout the country, and I think it'd be appropriate in light of the number of survivors, the number of people that are impacted, including my family, to have this memorial here.
He also feels it will benefit future generations to come.
And I think it's so important that we remember history and that we're going to have monuments up for World War II on Capitol grounds soon. And I think this would be a great compliment in light of what happened during World War II and the Holocaust. And I also want to emphasize how important this will be with the thousands of teachers and students that will be coming to the Capitol and they'll ask questions. And one thing they'll learn is never stand on the sidelines when something is going wrong.
Uhlfelder has been working on this bill with both Moskowitz and Hollywood Democrat Eleanor Sobel, who sponsored the Senate bill. And Sobel says there will be a process to establishing the memorial.
Senate Bill 716 would establish the statutory framework necessary to create Florida Holocaust Memorial. It's a memorial. On Capitol grounds, administered by DMS, the memorial will be constructed and placed after it has considered the recommendations of the Florida Historical Commission.
Last month, the Senate unanimously passed the bill, and on Wednesday, the House passed the measure 116-1, with Melbourne Beach Republican Representative John Tobia as the only no vote. Originally, Tobia didn't oppose the measure because the House version had no fiscal impact, but the Senate bill taken up by the House now includes $100,000 to help in the memorial's creation. Attorney Uhlfelder says he's also starting a citizens group to raise more funds. The bill now heads to the governor's desk. For Florida Public Radio, I'm Sasha Kordner.
Our regular Capitol Report correspondents are Jim Ash, Sasha Kordner, Ronald J. Eben, Nick Evans, Lynn Hatter, Regan McCarthy, and Kate Payne. We also thank our contributing Florida public radio stations. Technical assistance for Capitol Report is provided by Taylor Cox, and I'm Tom Flanagan. Follow us on Twitter at FPR Cap Report. And join us every weeknight during the 2016 Florida lawmaking session for more reports from the state capitol.
Audio copies of Capitol Report are available by calling 1-800-829-8809. You can also hear Capitol Report online, including archives of past shows, at fprn.org. Funding for Capitol Report is provided by the following. A grant from the law firm of Searcy, Denny, Scarola, Barnhart & Shipley, supporting public radio and taking time to care. On the web at searcylaw.com. Lewis, Longman & Walker, a law firm helping clients navigate the maze of regulatory and political processes. Offices in Tallahassee and statewide. More about Lewis, Longman & Walker's legislative lobbying and other governmental affairs practices is at llw-law.com. The Florida Restaurant and Lodging Association, committed to protecting, educating, and promoting Florida's hospitality industry. Over 10,000 members providing over 1 million jobs. The Florida Restaurant and Lodging Association. More at frla.org. And from the Florida Wildlife Federation, supporting acquisition and stewardship of Florida public conservation lands, including watershed and springs protection, gulf restoration, wildlife and fisheries conservation, and more. The Florida Wildlife Federation, fwfonline.org. WFSU-FM Tallahassee. This is Florida Public Radio.